In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I welcome you to this special service as we celebrate the life and faith of Olive King. And I want to say thank you to you all for respecting the social distancing conditions that we're under. And we also want to say hello to our family and friends who are watching the stream online or who will be watching the stream overseas or watching it after today. And we certainly, friends, encourage you. We've got beautiful grounds here at Berwick Anglican Church. It's a beautiful sunny day. And so please use the outdoor space to share your stories and encourage each other after the service and stay around as long as you like. So, friends, we've come together to thank God for the life of Olive King, to mourn and to honour her, to lay to rest her mortal body, and to support one another in our grief. We face the certainty of our own death and judgment, yet Christians believe that those who die in Christ share eternal life with him. Therefore, in faith and hope and confidence this afternoon, we turn to God who created and sustains us all. We remember the promise Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet will they live." And the future promise from 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So, friends, can I invite you to please bow your heads and I'll lead us in an opening prayer. Loving God, you alone are the source of life. We thank you for gathering us here today to remember Olive, and we thank you for those also not in the room but are with us in spirit and are participating. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your life-giving spirit would flow through us and fill us with compassion one for another. Heavenly Father, in our sorrow, give us the calm of your peace, the peace that surpasses understanding. Kindle our hope and let our grief eventually give way to joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please could I invite you to stand and in your booklets, let's sing our first hymn together, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Please have a seat, and I'm going to invite forward Heather to share the eulogy. Thank you.
A warm welcome to all those who are here with us today, and to those who are watching and joining with us online. We thank you for being a part of the celebration of the life of my mum, Olive. I'm honoured to be able to read the eulogy today. It wasn't easy to compress a life as long and as rich as mum's into a couple of pages. It hardly seems to do her justice, but will hopefully give you a taste of a life lived to the fullest, of a woman with a big heart and an even bigger smile, and with a hidden strength that endured many trials and tribulations. A woman who was blessed to have 7 children, 14 grandchildren, and 24 great-grandchildren. Muriel Olive Margaret King, known by most as Olive, Mum, Ma, or Mrs. King, was born on the 2nd of December, 1922, in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa. Her parents were Alfred and Ellen Alley. She was one of 4 children, an older brother and sister, Len and Nell, and a younger brother, Les. Mum had a bout of rickets when she was still very young, and this prevented her from walking. She was confined to a wheelchair, and doctors told her family there was nothing else they could do. But Mum had other ideas. At the age of 4, defying all expectations, Mum suddenly started walking. We can now understand where her passion for walking came from. She did not drive and walked at every opportunity. Over the years, as arthritis set in, her mobility became more restricted. Even as she recovered from knee replacements and a fractured hip, she always showed much determination to get back on her 2 wobbly feet and walk. And she was often a source of encouragement and inspiration to other patients in the hospital as they saw her courage and determination. Her parents were only married for 10 years when her mother passed away, leaving her father with 4 young children. Mom was 5 years old and her little brother, Les, was 2. Her mother's death meant changes had to be made, and her father decided to work from home in order to care for his 4 young children, as well as his own father and father-in-law, who were living with them at the time. So, working from home was nothing new. He made saddles and repaired shoes, enlisting the help of Mum's older brother, while Mum's sister was responsible for running the household, doing all the chores and cooking for the family. Mum would eventually have to leave school and take over the household chores and cooking, but she still found time to enjoy going out with friends to movies, dances, and parties. Mum had many jobs before she married, including being a seamstress and working in a bakery, which she loved. She also spent some time working as a nanny on a big rural property where she learned to ride a horse. Mum met our dad, Francis King, through a mutual group of friends, and they were married in 1943. They had 7 children. Their firstborn son, Gavin, only lived for 3 days. They then had a daughter, Bernice, and a son, Kenneth. 2 years later, they had a set of twin boys, Trevor and John. Sadly, the second twin, John, only lived for 7 hours. In the years that followed, they had 2 more daughters, Lynn and Heather. Mum enjoyed being at home, running a busy house and caring for her family. She loved baking, cooking, and entertaining. The kitchen was always filled with the smell of some home-baked cake or scones. Often, and much to our disappointment, the cakes were not for the eating, but for the local cake sale or church bazaar. She was involved in many of the local community groups and an active member of her local church. Mum and her siblings always attended the local Anglican church. She grew up attending Sunday school, and Sunday school picnics were always one of her highlights. As a young wife and mother, she joined the local Mothers' Union, which had as its purpose to strengthen, safeguard, and promote Christian family life. The Mothers' Union objectives were to uphold the sanctity of marriage, to awaken in all mothers a sense of their great responsibility in training of their boys and girls, the mothers and fathers of the future, and to organize in every place a band of mothers who would unite in prayer and seek by their own example to lead their families in purity and holiness of life. We are so blessed to be the beneficiaries of such grace and prayer. Mum described her faith journey as moving from the ritual of religion to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. She was aware of the goodness of God and His constant love and protection of her throughout her entire life. My memory of my mother was seeing her kneeling at her bed each night and praying, reading her Bible daily, and songs of praise and worship always on her lips. Mum and Dad both loved travelling. Many family road trips were enjoyed, exploring the beautiful South Africa. It was no surprise when in 1982, with their sense of adventure, Mum, Dad and myself made the decision to join their two older married children and their families in Melbourne, Australia. It was a hard decision, as they had to leave behind two married children and a lifetime of family and friends. They were blessed to enjoy many years travelling both in Australia and a few return trips to visit their children and friends in South Africa. Sadly, in 1984, tragedy once again struck this couple when their eldest son, Ken, was tragically taken from them at the age of 36. Mum and Dad were able to provide support for Ken's young wife, Val, and her three young boys, Clyde, Glenn, and Nigel. 6 years later, in 1990, Dad passed away. They had enjoyed 8 years together in their new country. They had been married for 47 years. We then saw Mum's strength and resilience step up to another level as she adjusted to life without her beloved Francis. Mum got involved in her local church in Dandenong North, attending Bible study and making new friends. She joined the local seniors club and continued to enjoy a life full of travel and adventure. She even learned to swim at the age of 70. She shared a unit with a friend, Mrs. Winnie Abrams, who had also recently been widowed. Mrs. Abrams and Mum shared a home for 14 years before further health challenges made Mum rethink her living arrangements, and she moved to Braeside Park Apartments in Berwick in July 2005, where she stayed for 11 happy years. Once again, in true Olive spirit, she embraced her new home with much enthusiasm and made many beautiful friends, including her church family here at Berwick Anglican Church. She once again got involved in everything that was on offer: Scrabble Club, exercise class, knitting group, and she enjoyed many day trips and outings. Encroaching old age and the inevitable challenges that brought meant Mum would gradually lose some of her independence. But to Mum, every setback simply meant opportunities to try something new. Nothing held her back, and Mum finally landed her first set of wheels, a motorized scooter. This gave her another level of freedom which she fully embraced. The years passed, and with her increasing age and frailty, Mum bravely agreed it was time to accept more supported assistance and care, and moved to McGregor Gardens Aged Care Facility in Pakenham in July 2016. It was a difficult decision, and she once again showed her strength and resilience in accepting what had to be and making the most of the situation. She again spread her light, her love, and a joy among the staff and residents of McGregor Gardens. She participated in every activity as much as she was physically able. She loved people and enjoyed every opportunity for a visit or a chat. Her sense of humour and quick wit never left her right up until her last days. Her joys and laughter were infectious. Her final 2 weeks. Were another gracious gift to us. It was a treasured and special time. It was a treasured and special time as family and friends came to see her and say their farewells. In true Olive style, she gently showed us not only how to live, but also how to die with dignity and in the comfort and presence of God. We as her family are so very thankful for the gift of her life and the impact it had on ours. We are also thankful for the many who loved her and cared for her over her long life. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. We're now going to hear from Clyde, who's going to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. That was really beautiful. So I'll be sharing some tributes from Mars family here and abroad. And I'd like to start with this one from Peter Maritzburg. I would like to thank my sisters, sister-in-law, brother-in-law and their families, and Mum's many friends who visited and took care of her over the years. We were blessed to have you, Mum, for so many years. You were a great Mum, Mum-in-law, grandmother, great-grandmother and friend, and you'll surely be missed back here at home. Till we meet again, we'll love you always, Trevor, Myra and family. And Uncle Trevor signed off with a beautiful quote. The Golden Gate stood open. God saw you needed a rest. His garden must be beautiful because he only takes the best. Rest in peace. Myra, if your life's purpose was to spread joy, then judging by the tributes flowing in from friends and families and acquaintances all over the world, you achieved overwhelming success. Megan loved the way you were always happy and positive. She loved your cheeky sense of humour, as many did. And you taught her that when you're faced with a decision between laughing and crying, you should always choose laughter. Ma, your sense of humour was certainly infectious, as Heather said. A sentiment shared by many, including Grant, Mark and Sean, who will always have the precious memory of the time you were trying to read a riddle from a Christmas bonbon. Without your specs, struggling, you read out, "Walter, Walter, there's a fly in my soup." Talk about infectious. I cracked up just writing that. The Peters boys will never forget your infectious laugh and warm smile, and they will miss your great baking, your kind and loving nature, and the way you kept the family together. To the boys, their memories of you will always be wonderful memories. Glyn remembers the good food too and the laughter and the generous offerings of nibbles that you would lay out every time we would visit you. So many that you would make us take them all home when we left. Glyn was overjoyed when, living in London in 2002, he received a handwritten letter from you. He still has that letter, and he says he will treasure it now more than ever. Ma, you did enjoy to write, that's for sure. You enjoyed to talk as well. Just the simple art of conversation, discourse between two people. In that field, you excelled. Nigel's most treasured memories of you were when you stayed over at my mum's place and you would tell stories about our dad when he was a child. You'd stay over for days at a time and my mum would usually put on a show, several TV shows or movies, The Thornbirds or The Student Prince. And I don't think you guys actually watched much because you were just talking the whole time. And I think when it comes to my mum, you were as just as good a listener as you were a talker. I also remember the times chatting with you in the car when I picked you up a number of times when you would come and join us at our family gatherings, whether it was our place or the Petersons or the Colemans. I really treasure those moments. And just on the Petersons and the Colemans, I just want to acknowledge all the love that they showed to you, Ma, over the years, the decades, the love that was evident in the generous hospitality and the kindness they showed you. You were a fixture at nearly all of the family gatherings, eating heartily, laughing boisterously, spreading joy, and basically being, well, just being you. Janine and her family in Sweden also wrote, so Janine, Craig, Gabriel and Adrian, they will always remember you. Despite the distance between you, you were always in their hearts and their minds, and they were all in awe of your strong and happy 97 years. So, Ma, we are faced with troubling times, very challenging times at the moment, and probably be confronted with whether to laugh or to cry, but we'll just think of you, and we'll think of Walter, and laughter will flow. The joy you brought is your legacy to us, and we will be eternally grateful for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Clyde. I'm delighted now to invite forward Bree, who's going to give a musical tribute. Thanks, Bree. Here she is.
Olive sets my soul on fire. Justice enforced punishment. Too young to cry her own defense. Olive sets my soul afire. Justice enforced punishment. Too little seen, unknown, too late. I see red. Oh, double the favor, throw out the key. On eagle's wings, lay your body to sleep. On eagle's wings, may you sleep in sleep. She grace us with her beautiful face. Go to them, go go to them. On eagle's wings lay your body to sleep. On eagle's wings lay you sleeping. Olive sets my soul on fire. Justice enforced punishment. Too little seen, I know no too late. Whoa.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brie. God bless you. We're now going to see an overview of Olive's life through the photographic tribute on the screen behind me.
Yeah.
We now have two very carefully chosen readings from the Bible that I'll invite Raymond forward to share.
Thank you.
Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son."
Friends, it was my privilege to know Olive and to be her pastor and to pray with her, even in McCulloch House. And it's my joy to be able to share some short reflections on both these two really important Bible readings that fit Olive so well. Psalm 23 is historically the psalm of King David, and the way that King David walked with God as his shepherd through the ups and downs of leading Israel, God's people, in about 1000 BC. And so David speaks of the goodness and blessings of God to him as king. Even in the darkest of times, when Israel was under pressure from other nations, God was with King David and helped him. So the Bible's an amazing book because just as this is the psalm of David, the man of God, it's the psalm of Olive, a woman of God. And maybe it's because it's our eternal God who is the shepherd of us all. So the Lord was Olive's shepherd. He provided for her. He led her through green pastures and quiet waters and I can't remember the number, but, you know, so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. 23 great-grandchildren, was it? 24. Sorry to whoever I left out. Through times of moving around the world, the Lord was Olive's shepherd wherever she was, whatever country. Through her growing in godliness and prayer, through times even of trial and struggle, through the valleys, the Lord sustained Olive, and she leaned on him as her good shepherd. And God was always faithful to Olive, even in the valleys of the shadow of death. And we heard some of that even in the loss of family members. The Olive I knew, and I'm sure the Olive you knew, had a quiet confidence stemming from the fact that Jesus Christ had died for her sins on the cross. She was resolute that Jesus was her Savior and Lord, that Jesus was the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for her. And so in this way, Olive is a great model and example for us, and she would love for you to have the same. And what a great help it is that we need a shepherd right now in this terrible trial the whole world is in. Olive wanted everyone she loved to know the love of God and the forgiveness that Jesus died for. Now, just as Psalm 23 is reflective of Olive's life, or reflective of this life, Revelation 21 is about the life to come. And it's a picture of the eternity in store for all God's forgiven people. It's a prophecy of the new creation that will come at the second coming of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, the old order of creation, as we know it, will be no more. This broken, fallen, decaying creation will have passed away, and something infinitely better will have arrived. It will be a new heaven and a new earth. And even in the picture, heaven and earth are distinct, and yet they join together in a special way. All God's forgiven people are like, they're presented as the holy city, the new Jerusalem, that comes down from heaven to earth to meet God on earth, and to dwell forever in the visible presence of the majesty of God. It's a great picture. And there's just, God makes an announcement on this day. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So I put it to you, friends, this is a new theory I have just this week. That Psalm 23, I love it, and it's very comforting for this life. But Revelation 21 is even better because it's the life to come. We move from the valley is one thing, but the eternal city is better. We move from quiet waters to the spring of the water of eternal life. We move from evil and death pressing in to no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We move from a table in the presence of enemies to the table of the wedding supper of the Lamb. We move from the Lord being our shepherd by faith and not sight to seeing God face to face forever. We move from being led and shepherded by God to finally arriving home with God face to face. From the Psalm to Revelation, we move from the pressure and fear of evil to God himself wiping every tear from our eyes. I do encourage you to remember Psalm 23 and to use it and to call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Rely on Jesus in your dark valleys. Remember the example of Olive. But friends, I want you to rejoice this day that we have something better than Psalm 23, that Olive has gone ahead of us to receive the inheritance. Olive's life was Psalm 23, but now her present and her future are Revelation 21. She's now gone to be with her Lord Jesus and is awaiting with him the consummation of all these things at his second coming. And so, friends, today you are invited for the same future, for not just help in this temporary time, but for the new creation that Jesus will bring. These words are trustworthy and true. The Good Shepherd is waiting. Let me know if you need a Bible even today. Make this your season, not just of the valley, but of receiving Jesus as your Savior and Lord, repenting, receiving, and relying on him as Olive did. Repent, receive, rely. We celebrate this hope we have for Olive, and we want to embrace it in our hearts this day. Friends, may we all by faith in Christ make it from the valley to the city of God. Amen. Can I invite you please to stand and let's sing together this beautiful hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Please be seated. And I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And I'm going to be including some prayers that come from Olive's Mother's Union booklet that Heather shared with me. And it was very well prayed, this booklet. And many of these prayers Olive prayed regularly. And they were prayers for you as well, actually. So please bow your heads. We will glorify you, O God, our King. We will praise your name forever. Every day we will give thanks to you for the blessings poured upon us. May we never forget that all good gifts come from you. Fill our hearts with gratitude and open our eyes to your wonders. Help us to know that even in suffering can be found the treasures of your love. Above all, we thank you for the cross from which comes our forgiveness and the promises of resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, our Father, be with us in our homes through this and every day. Help us when we are tired to control our tempers and to take thought for others. Make us loving and patient, forgiving others as we hope to be forgiven, that in our homes your law may reign. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for creating Olive in your image and for blessing our lives through her in so many ways. We thank you that you received Olive by baptism into the family of your church on earth and granted her the gift of eternal life. She ate with us the bread of life and drank from the cup of salvation. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness to Olive and for her steadfast faith, her resolute reliance on Christ our Saviour. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for your comfort and help on all who grieve the loss of your servant Olive, especially her immediate family, her children and their families, her grandchildren and her 24 great-grandchildren. We pray for those who are overseas and those who are participating with us through the live stream, that they will know your comfort this day and moving forward. Father, please help us to always, as we remember Olive, to thank her and to thank you for blessing us through her, and in the face of the valley of the shadow, to be as resolute as she was in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has risen from the dead. And so let us pray together the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Friends, we have a final hymn together. It's actually a great Sunday school chorus. He holds my hand. So I invite forward Bree, who's going to play this for us on the piano. Would you please stand and sing? Again, that's great. We're getting the hang. Thank you. Please remain standing as I lead us in our committal prayer and blessing. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have given to us a sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. In your keeping are all those who have departed in Christ. We here commit the body of our dear sister, Muriel Olive King, to be cremated, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us, and who shall change our mortal body that it may be like his glorious body. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.